morning. How everybody's doing great this morning. I want to thank so much the people that helped make the service possible this morning, with Jacqueline Davis, always with the editing, Ejemli Ajuku, the singers did a phenomenal job with the singing this morning. So it's great to be able to worship with everyone today. Let's pray and continue on with our worship. Amen. Heavenly Father God, thank you so much for loving us the way that you do. Thank you for getting us up this morning and allowing us to worship you in spirit and truth. Open wide our hearts. Help our hearts to be receptive to your word and receptive to each and everything you have to say to us right now. We pray that we let your spirit in and talk to us as only you can. We pray all this in your name and through your son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm excited about the message this morning. The message is the lies of loneliness. The lies of loneliness. And I'm really excited about what the Spirit's put on my heart this morning. We're going to get on in a second. The lies of loneliness. You ever been lonely before? But look, before we get there, you ever had this experience when you were when little? You know, look. When I was little, I'm a single mom, four kids. I'm the third boy. I remember being a little kid and being dragged along to stores with my mom. And that to me was like torture, right? And she dragged me around. And to me, the worst thing would be she dragged me to like a woman's dress shop or something. And I have to like, as, you know, I'm a little kid. And I got to sit and wait for her as she tries on clothes. And, you know, you can't complain because she, old school, you know, you just got to sit there and take it. And I'm telling you, it would feel like I was there for days. And I'm sure it was only a few minutes, but days. It just be like the most miserable feeling in the world. You're in some mall and some women's shop and you're a little kid. And you're like, man, I don't want to be here. And my brothers are out walking around. I can't be with, I got to be a mom. And okay, fast forward. I can remember the first time I was with a mom in a big store. I don't know if it was Montgomery Ward's or Sears or a mall. And I was little, and we were separated. Oh my goodness. Like, have you had that happen to you before when you were small, but when you were in a store or a mall, and like, you lost your mom, or you lost your parents, and you're there as a little kid by yourself. Like, it's like the most miserable feeling in the world. The only thing worse than that is being the parent that lost your kid, right? I didn't know that at the time. But you feel so like, oh, what am I going to do? It's so scary. And that feels like it takes forever. And you're lost for a thousand years, probably like 5 minutes. But it feels like a long, long time. And what a terrible feeling. But what does that have to do with the message today? Well, I'm glad you asked. We can have an equally bad feeling called loneliness, where we feel separated and apart from God and everyone else. You know, you feel like no one understands me. No one knows what we're going through. And we go through all the anxieties and all the feelings that we go through when we feel lonely and separated from people. And man, that's a challenge at so many points of our lives, but especially now, right? Especially during the pandemic and all the challenges that the pandemic brings along, loved ones who are sick, the threat of what does the future hold. I mean, every time you turn on the news, there's something else being said about how long it's going to last, how long it's going to go, what's the best precaution to wear a mask or not wear a mask, does my mask match my shoes, blah, 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 blah. And then you've got the situation where people have lost jobs, have been furloughed, a lot of anxiety, right? A lot of situations. First responders out there at like champs and heroes, but a lot of anxiety, a lot of situations. This is a lot going on top of normal, everyday life. Man, stress in our marriage, stress in our parenting, stress of being single, the stress of, you know, my career, my job, my education, whatever. Just trying to be a disciple and live a godly life and in a crazy world. Man, I want to be celibate. I want to be pure for God, but that's not going well. And we can feel alone in our struggles. And feel like we're the only people in the world who are going through what we're going through and understand what's going on. I don't know if you've experienced that, if you go through that, but it's this feeling of being utterly alone. And part of that is that nobody understands exactly what I'm going through. No one's feeling the things that I'm feeling. No one's experiencing what I'm experiencing. I am alone in this. Sometimes we feel a little crazy. You know, we feel like, man, if people really knew the stuff that I feel or the thoughts that I have, right? And the way I process things, they wouldn't even like me. Man, if my friends knew, if my family knew, if my husband or wife knew, they wouldn't even like me, man. I'm alone in my insecurities, in my fears, in my anxiety. I am alone in this, and nobody, no one understands. Have you been there? Have you had this experience? Because I know I have, man. Man, it's a challenge, right? I want to look at a scripture and look at a situation with Elijah, this great, powerful prophet, where he went through exactly that type of experience and all the insecurity and all the anxiety that goes with that. That make sense to you? Let's go ahead and let's read about Elijah. I'm going to read a passage in 1 Kings chapter 19, starting on verse 3. And before I get there, let me give some background information. Okay, so we're going to pick up reading about Elijah, this powerful man of God, did so many great things, but he was given some very tough jobs. Okay, and so he was the God's prophet during a very sinful time in the kingdom of Israel, where the king Ahab was deep in sin and his queen Jezebel was deep in sin. And Elijah was had the unenviable job of preaching the truth, the word of God, to a hostile audience, where people had left God and were worshiping false gods and didn't want to hear what he had to say. So God used Elijah to bring on a famine and to bring on, to stop it from raining in Israel for 3.5 years. And you can imagine, for 3.5 years, it did not rain in Israel because of Israel's sin. And of course, rather than repenting, the king and his people blamed Elijah. And so they sent men in the desert to try to find Elijah and to kill Elijah and punish Elijah because he brought along this drought where it would not rain. So, but finally Elijah emerged and God told Elijah it was time to confront the king again. And so Elijah issued a challenge. You bring the 400 prophets of Asherah, that false god. And you bring the 450 prophets of Baal, that false god, and we're going to have a test to see who is the true God. And they had this test where they had an offering. And they said the God that produces fire to burn up the offering, that is the true God. And so the prophets of Baal and Asherah, they tried to get their God to bring fire, and of course they couldn't. But then it was Elijah's turn. And he doused the offering in water and doused the altar in water and put so much water, they built a trench around it and the trench was full of water. It was drenched. And then he prayed to God and God rained fire down and burned up the offering and the altar in the water. It was amazing. Proving that he is the one and only true God of Israel. And for a minute, the people responded and they put to death the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah. What a tremendous victory. You can imagine, this was a mountaintop experience, and Elijah was on top of the world. But what often happens when we have these great victories is the follow-up gut punch. And that's what happened in Elijah's case. So word got to Jezebel what happened. And these were Jezebel's prophets, right? She was not happy. She was not having it. She said, man, I'm going to kill Elijah. Now, Elijah was afraid of Ahab, but he was terrified of Jezebel. And so even though God had given this great victory, Elijah ran for his life. He said, oh, man, this is terrible. Jezebel's going to kill me, and I know that woman's going to kill me. And so he hid and he ran for his life. I mean, the best day of his life, this tremendous victory was turned to a defeat. Because he was a wanted man by the queen and she was determined to kill him and he was terrified for his life. Okay, we pick it up right there in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3. It says, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servants there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. He said, God, look, I've been doing your business for a long time. I've been out here preaching the word and doing your stuff. And all my friends who were doing it, they're all dead. And the people you sent me to preach, they're not listening to me. In fact, they want to kill me. I'm the only one left. Nobody understands. I'm out here by myself. I just want to die. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. You been there? You ever felt so completely alone and then nobody understands my situation? And so many times, we're doing well, we feel like, man, God's answering my prayers, and then we get hit. And we fall. And we fall so far and so fast, like nobody understands what I'm going through. Yeah, I can call my friends, but they don't know what's going on right now. And I'm the only one. I'm out here by myself. You know, Duke and I talk about movies sometimes, and we're both geeks at heart, right? And so he reminded me about the Star Wars movie, the latest one, that he just watched it again. He says, there's a line in there, Frank, you're going to want to use for a sermon. And he's right. So the line is this: they win by making you think that you're alone. Wow. That's a character named Zora Bliss from the last Star Wars movie, right? He said, that's how they win. By making you think you're alone. And is that spiritual or what? Thank you, Duke. That's a great reminder. That's how Satan wins. And that's how where Satan had Elijah. He made him feel like he was alone. And we're going through the struggle, or maybe our wife and our husband have a bump, or we're going through a purity struggle, or we're feeling like, man, I got nobody to love me. And I'm 25, I'm 35, I'm 40, and I'm alone, and nobody understands. That's how Satan wins. He makes you feel like you're alone. Yeah, the people are such a nice, but they're not really my friends, and they don't get me. That's how Satan wins. He makes you feel like you're alone. And Elijah felt alone. He felt empty. He felt afraid and fearful and anxious. And that's multiplied by loneliness. And one of the lies of loneliness, the way it lies to us, is it makes us feel that nobody understands us. And we're completely alone. Let's read on and see what happens next. Drop it down to verse 11. This is how God responds. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now we'll talk a little bit more about what the Lord does when he passes by. But God says, look, okay, I hear all this whining and complaining. I hear you, I see you. I tell you what, I want you to stand in this place. And I'm going to pass by and I want you to stand in my presence. Now, I don't know where you are today. I don't know what you're feeling. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe you're on top of the mountain. Maybe you're at the bottom of the valley. But let me tell you something. The answer isn't by being introverted or feeling alone or listening to the lies of loneliness. The answer is standing in the presence of our God. And no matter what your situation this morning, The answer is being in God's presence, being in prayer, being on our knees, opening our eyes and our heart and our faith to the power and the presence of God. And I'm not saying just to pray until you connect, to be in your Bible until you get that truth, and then to sing songs of praise, to open up your heart to God, to be in the presence of God. You're not going to get your way out of the lies or loneliness by being in your head. Sometimes, well, I'm going to think my way. I just need to be by myself and work this out. Right. Because the key to not being lonely is being by yourself. Right. Does that make sense to you? It's like saying, I'm so hungry. Well, here's some food. Well, no, I'm hungry. You know, it's like, I'm hungry. I'm just going to sit here until I can stop being hungry. That doesn't make no sense. Let me tell you something. The Word of God is the buffet. And we're starving. And prayer is like fresh water. And we're thirsty. And so whatever the solution is, it starts with feasting on the Word of God and drinking the pure water of prayer and letting it hit our spirit. And let me tell you something, walking with God is more than just reading and praying, but it's not less than that. And it's not about legalism or whatever. It's about the fact that we're starving. I'm starving. And the anxiety that I feel, the fear that I feel, just feel like a freak sometimes. I'm feeling weird sometimes. Man, the solution starts with standing in the presence of God. And the way that the lies of Satan works, it gets you to do everything else but that. We're so busy doing everything else. But the one thing that can fill the void that nothing else can fill. And I'm guilty of that. And man, I don't know about you, the more we show up on the stage, the less time I seem to have. Like the days just fly by and you get filled up with all these type of things and whatever. And you're trying to, if you have a job right now, you can work from home, you're blessed. But that blessing comes with 10 kids on your head, right? And your spouse right next to you, you guys going back, you're doing all these different things trying to work too, and blah, 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 blah. And we need to pray and read, but it gets crowded out. They win by making us feel that we're alone. The first step of breaking that lie is pushing everything else aside and making sure that you make time to just stand in the presence of God. Not because you're being legalistic and I won't go to hell, I feel so guilty. No, it's you're hungry. And the Word of God is your buffet. And the prayer is that fresh, pure water that we desperately need. Let's go on. This next slide says, God comforts you in your loneliness. That's what he wants to do. But we got to make time to connect to God to have that comfort. Right?